Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Second down and six. Williams play fake. Now throws wide open. It's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to DJ Moore, especially on a Victory Monday. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. What a pro's pro. DJ, flying in from London and jumping on the radio the next morning. God bless you. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome back.
I'm doing amazing, and thank you.
So tell us, you know, the one thing that I was thinking to myself about you guys going to London is, wow, that, you know, what a great town. What an opportunity to get out, see the sights, maybe have some fun. And then it turns out you're an hour and a half away from London. You're on a business trip. You're not there for fun.
Yeah, no, we wasn't there for fun. I think Tuesday was our off day out there, but we had a good time. Did a food tour vlog that's coming out with me, Keenan, and Mercedes. So that's something we look forward to.
So before we get to some of the things you did and enjoyed last week, and you've topped it off with a victory, what time did you get back, and how tired do you feel this morning?
We got back around 11:30. I had to go through customs, wait for our bags. We probably got back, probably like closer to 1. Wow. And I got in the house around 1.
Wow, that you must have been exhausted, because you do, your body does. I mean, there is jet lag is real and you do get over it, but I always felt that the trip back was worse than the trip there for some reason.
The trip back was amazing. We had that win, so everybody adrenaline was still running, and everybody was just still up. So it was fine, but I went to sleep on the plane. So,
what was the best part of the week in London? The day off, or maybe it was just the camaraderie at the looked like a manor in the English countryside. You guys looked like you were staying in some pretty nice digs there. What would be the most memorable part of last week, aside from the football?
I want to say just the camaraderie. You know, us as leadership did a good job of keeping everybody in tune with what was going on all weekend. When everybody had free time, we let them do what they wanted to do, and that was the best thing, because everybody was just locked in and knew that it wasn't supposed to be fun, but we could make it fun in different spots in the schedule.
So they reported at the game, and we heard this on Friday, that when you guys opened the season, because of Caleb Williams as the starter and the lack of information that he would have and the overload they were putting on him, you guys did not have a first 15. You didn't have kind of the plays lined up that teams normally do. I believe they do 25 out in San Francisco, where they have all these plays that these are our best plays, we're going to use them. And instead, you had kind of opening plays. You had a group of plays, but it wasn't mapped out like a first 15. And then after the leadership committee went and met with Shane Waldron, it was decided to start doing that properly. And you guys are pretty much unbeaten since that happened. That was from, I believe, Mercedes Lewis, who told that story. Can you give us some insight into that? How have things changed just in terms of the game preparation in terms of the first 15?
You can go into the game knowing that knowing the set plays that we have to go in and just be on the details. As far as being shocked by a play call, that we may have not run as much in the week. So having that first 15 is a big deal.
Was that unusual to start a season without that, based on your experience?
Probably like 6 out of the 7 years I've been playing, I've had an openers where it's 15. So when we didn't do it, it was like everybody was a little thrown off, but we was going to make it work.
Hmm. So yesterday it seemed to work after a couple 3 and outs. The first quarter wasn't good offensively, DJ. What do you think changed to make the last 3 quarters much more enjoyable and much more easy to move the football?
I want to say that we probably was tiptoeing in the water in the pool. We put our toes in the pool and had to see the temperature. But then we were just like, F it. We don't care how they playing. We just going to go play our brand of football.
Yeah, it seemed like once you changed the tempo, all of a sudden you're like a different football team. The quarterback's so much more comfortable and you guys are moving down the field. And it just took a couple of series before you got to a point where you just sped things up a little. And once you do that, everyone seemed like they're in a good mode, and all of a sudden you're marching down the field.
Yeah, I think we wanted to do that because we knew they came over late, so, and we was pretty fresh. So that's all we really wanted to get into, was some tempo and start wearing them out, and it did.
So you're open on a route that could have been a touchdown, and then Caleb kind of floats it, and he talked about it afterward, and he focused on that more than he talked about the 4 touchdown passes. But take us back to that route when you knew you were open, and then what you how you help a young quarterback overcome a mistake like that that could linger in his mind.
He just came over to the sideline. He said, "My bad." I said, "It's all good. We still got more football to play." And then that proceeded on with everybody else turning up a notch. So I had no problem with it. And I mean, there was a problem because he threw the interception, and I should have been able to bat that down. But I did. I tried a little kick to try to get it out, but that was a little too far away, and I was running the opposite way to bat it down. So
it was wild because Kurt Warner was doing the game, and he was like, in that situation, throw the ball to the pylon. If he had thrown it over your head, I mean, you were so open that he thought he could throw the ball to you. But if he threw it to the pylon, you would have just kept going and caught that thing and be a touchdown.
Yeah, that's when you that open, you really can't. I can't really tell you how the quarterback's thinking. But I was thinking, like, he was like, that safety is so far over, he's not going to get there. But when I looked up, I'm looking for the ball. It's like, dang, that thing hanging up there. But I'm still running towards the pylon. I'm thinking it's going to carry to me, but it didn't. So when I stopped short, and that's how the interception happened.
So, DJ, after your big game against Carolina, we talked last week about, okay, it's time for the passing game to start including Keenan Allen a little bit more. I wondered, going into yesterday's game, was that a point of emphasis in the game plan? Because he ends up with 2 touchdowns, and they were both on throws that were very good, accurate throws from Caleb Williams.
I want to say yeah, but you never know how a game's going to play out in terms of the script that we have for everybody. So he went off and had the 2 touchdowns, and he had major catches in the game.
And it was Cole Kmet who had 2 touchdowns as well, and he wound up having to be the long snapper. That was pretty impressive, with the guy trying to celebrate a touchdown. Everyone's grabbing him. Get back. You got to snap for the extra point. I thought that was very amusing. But the one play to him where I just thought it was a great play design, where Caleb has the ball, he turns like he's throwing a screen, and then he turns like he's throwing to the other side. That seemed to freeze them as Kmet is running unabetted down the middle of the field. It was a really good play design.
Yeah, that we knew that was going to hit. We got it a few times in practice over the weeks, and even in training camp, that we knew it was going to be like, yo, that's going to work. And when we went out there and did. I said, I hope we call it inside the 50, more like inside the 40, so Cole can get a touchdown. And he actually did it, because I had said that to Keenan and Caleb on the bus. So kind of spoke that into existence.
So when you look at this Bears offense over the last couple of weeks, I don't know how familiar you are with some of the history that's being made here, but the Bears now have scored 5 offensive touchdowns, DJ, in back-to-back games for the first time since 1956. It's the first time the Bears have scored more than 30 points in back-to-back wins since 2013. What do you think was the biggest reason you guys have turned things around?
Just playing complimentary football. We saw that the defense and special teams were playing really well, and we was not welcome to the party at the time, but now everybody's welcome to the party. So we, if we keep that going, you know, things can turn around like they have, and we just got to keep it up.
You looked like you had a touchdown. It looked like, you know, technically that would have been another passing touchdown for the quarterback, and then on the replay, it looked like you were, I don't know, half a yard short, for God's sake. It was just, I was so bummed for you because you were in, and yet the your elbow hit down right at the goal line. Were you bummed that that touchdown didn't count? And it didn't matter, you scored on the next play, but you didn't get a touchdown.
Not really, but I did, like, before we went out there, I was like, dang, Caleb, you go, let me join the party. And we had ended up the next play. It was a lot of stuff going on from the sideline until on the field. So I didn't have, I had was listening to the sideline and then get the accurate play. But we still ended up with a big play. So when we got down there to the play you're talking about, it was like a tip pass. I got it. I'm like, oh, we about to score. So I got it. Turned up because they was taking all the blockers to the sideline. So I was like, dang, this is a touchdown. And then they said no. I was like, all right, it's okay. And then I seen Dre going out there. So I said, it's even better than okay. So I let him get a touchdown.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. So you were also helped off the field a little bit. They reported it as a shoulder injury. How banged up are you, and what happened on that play?
Sore. The play that I came off, he, like, ran into me, and it felt real bad. So, but it's not real bad now. Just soreness. Like, it just felt like I've been, like, hit by a truck, to be honest. And I think it happened like a few series before, because they was out there holding a lot, and I think somebody like pulled my arm, and it felt weird.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, I think they had 2 holding penalties on that drive. They kept making mistakes that were aiding you. I know that the Cisco, the guy that got the interception, he said after the game that they quit. He said that the defense quit in the game, and you know, the coach is kind of trying, you know, said something about, well, we got to, you know, work on different things. But when you hear someone say that the defense quit, I mean, that's not good. That is not good for their opponent.
Nah, I mean, we was out there doing the right things and playing physical on brand with Bears football.
So, DJ, back to the first 15 idea, I think it's interesting that 6 of your first 7 years you were dealing with that, and this was an unusual start to the season. And I think that I'm curious. So after the players approached Shane Waldron, do you give him credit for evolving and changing and adapting to what I think seems now to be working? And do you think this is going to be something that sticks for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you got to give him credit because he could have chosen not to listen, but he heard us out and incorporated it. So you got to give him credit there. And I think that's something we stick with. Even we probably go more in depth with maybe your first 5 third downs and so forth and so forth.
You said that you told Caleb to let you in on the party. It was a tea party. You guys, after the time, I mean, obviously, tribute to England, but whose idea was that? And how did that get going?
That was Dre Swift's idea. He wasn't even in on it. He said that the drive before or during that drive, he was like, if any of us score, me, Keenan or him, we doing a tea party. And he happened not to be in, so he missed out on the tea.
It was very cool, though. It was a very impromptu, very entertaining celebration. All right, so, DJ, couple details. Number one, what was your best meal in London of all the food that you ate? And secondly, you got to explain the wardrobe choice. There was a cigar. There was an umbrella. What was behind the wardrobe choice?
The best food, I want to say we had some bao and dumplings. They was pretty good in Chinatown. And the wardrobe choice, the outfit came from my own way of being a Peaky Blinder and the clothes that I had.
it was a good look. It definitely worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, what is the plan now, DJ? You obviously have no practice this week. Are you going anywhere? Are you just getting in a cold tub for a few days? What are you going to do?
Relax the body, relax the mind, and just chill with the fam.
Before we let you do that, so we heard from Matt Eberflus kind of put things in perspective after the game, and at 4-2, this is kind of where a lot of people thought the Bears could be. I wonder if you think that's a fair assessment of where the season is right now. And if anything that has surprised you about the first six games as you get ready to kind of regroup and reset for the latter part of the season?
I feel like we should be like 4-1, maybe undefeated, if we make some plays in the Houston game and the Colts game. So that's it. High expectations I have for us this year as a team. You know, winning is the best thing that we can do, no matter what the stats say. I feel like we can be a team that goes for the long run this year.
DJ, we'll let you go. I thought it was really funny during the week when you were talking about Caleb being bossy, and we heard he was in the room, so you were kind of giving him the business, which is really amusing. And he was funny responding to it. So I'm just curious, is that the kind of rapport you guys have now? You can kind of sit there and kind of have some fun. It just feels like you're having a good time, and obviously your connection with him is strengthened.
Yeah, between me and him, it's always been love, and like the connection has been there off the field, and we see that it's getting better on the field, like warming up. And so, I mean, that's basically with the whole team. So it's all good vibes, and we need to keep it up.
Enjoy your off week. Really appreciate you getting up early and calling us and being a pro every single Monday.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank y'all.
That is DJ Moore. He is. What a total pro. I mean, we've had guys that we've had to chase around. Let's be honest.
A little bit,
it's hard to get up on Monday morning.
We've had less cooperation on Monday mornings in the last couple of years, we appreciate that.
There's the best offensive player on the team, and he's there for you and telling you background stuff and taking you into
total pro.
Some of the fun.
He's right about where the Bears are, and I understand why they feel like they have been good enough in each of the six games to maybe have won them. But 4-2 at the bye, that's a good spot to be in.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to your calls next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Was it as bad as it felt and looked out there?
Yeah, it was really bad. I just felt like it was, how should I say this? A lot of quit. And last line of defense, you know, in a situation like that, you can feel when we're playing as one and when we're not. And felt very early in the game, kind of once things kind of maybe at halftime, that we weren't playing as one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is Andre Cisco, Cisco Kid. He was a friend of mine, and he called him. He said they quit. There was a lot of quit. That's what he defined. There's the man who had the interception that we talked to DJ Moore about, and he felt they quit. That is a bad comment for Doug Peterson.
When you hear a professional athlete use the word quit, wow, you are basically starting the clock on the tenure of the coach in charge. And it's the time is expiring on Doug Peterson. You can't tolerate that. You saw a little bit. I don't know if it was quit or just in, you know, they're incapable of covering Bears receivers or on offense. Trevor Lawrence started strong. You know, the quick passing game was working early, and then they got away from that. They fell behind. There were a combination of things. The Jaguars are just bad. They self-destructed on one touchdown drive by the Bears where they had three penalties.
Yeah, kept the drive alive.
You just don't do those things and win games. And so not only are they quitting, maybe the mental focus wasn't there either. Maybe that was what he's referring to.
But what's interesting is DJ Moore said to us at one point, I mean, great interview with DJ all the way around, but he said at one point that they sped things up. They went to a quicker pace in part because they knew that Jacksonville had travel issues, got out late, and they were looking to tire them out as they were dealing with their own jet lag.
Conditioning. Yeah, conditioning is an issue, and that's something you try to take advantage of when you go up-tempo. I also think that at the point the Bears went up-tempo, they needed to do something to change their own lack of momentum. They needed to do something to spur it. And going no tempo, no huddle, up-tempo with Caleb Williams seems to, for whatever reason, get things going. It gets the blood flowing, the offense moving, the chains moving, and it worked again yesterday. Maybe it's because he just is better at going on the fly. Not quite sure what it is, but it seems to be working. And so you looking ahead, when they do their self-scouting during this off week, and they will do that, they'll be able to find some sort of rhyme or reason to it. And then maybe, I don't want to say you come out in the no huddle. You want to give yourself a chance to, you know, do things traditionally, conventionally, but it's a good weapon to have.
And he seems so comfortable in it. 312-644-6767. Caleb Williams seems to be perfectly
thrives in it.
Oh, he's excellent in it. Let's get to Christian. He's in Chicago. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. How are we doing this morning?
Good. Feeling good.
It's a great time to be a Bears fan. I want to say I want to try and kill some of the haters on the, you know, the bad defenses we've been playing. It's been a long time since we've had this kind of offense and good football all around, so let's enjoy it. So my question that I have for you guys this morning is, being as where the team is today, do you think that in the bye week now that this may be a time for Ryan Poles to kind of chef Poles it up and maybe add something, whether it's more depth or a primetime player on the O-line, or maybe look at some of the bad teams like the Browns or the Titans and acquire somebody on the D-line to either strengthen, maybe, you know, it's long shot, but a Myles Garrett or a Jeffrey Simmons, two teams that might be desperate to kind of get some capital going forward and really take this defense from championship level to Super Bowl winning level. So, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Christian. Wow. I like the ambition.
Myles Garrett. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I don't think that this is like the other sports. It just isn't necessarily like Major League Baseball at the deadline. There's a lot of movement or even before. There might be some closer to the deadline. I think it's a little early for that. And I also think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to go out and get somebody of that caliber at the deadline and add him to your mix.
I mean, Myles Garrett's like the defensive player of the year. What are you going to do? Trade Nate Davis for him?
Well, you might trade Nate Davis, but not for him. You may trade Nate Davis and take whatever you can get in return.
What?
Maybe free, maybe dinner reservations and a complimentary drink somewhere. But I don't think he factors into the plans. You know, Molly, I mean, people wanted to look at the possibilities. In Detroit this morning, they're asking about trading for Hassan Reddick, who just hired Drew Rosenhaus as his agent in New York for the Jets. You wonder where that story will go. The Lions need a pass rusher. Now, the Aiden Hutchinson, unfortunately for them, is out for the season with the broken tibia. The Bears, I don't think you go out and you're able to get an offensive lineman, whether it's a bye week or just before the deadline, that's you're going to be able to plug and play.
But I think there are some guys, like, you know, Cleveland is a great example. If indeed their season's over, if indeed they're going nowhere and they're paying all this money to the quarterback, they may there has been talk, rumors about offensive lineman there, a guard there, or here or there. The problem is the Bears still don't have Ryan Poles back. Ryan Bates back. I keep calling him Ryan Poles for some reason. There's a reason. They still don't have their guard back that they traded for in the offseason.
That's where I think they're going to turn more likely than the trade market, is that they're going to try to improve from within. Internal options exist with Ryan Bates coming back and Larry Borum as well.
Yes.
Now, he's not a guy that obviously has stood out as a starter necessarily his first couple seasons in the league, but he is an option. And look, we underestimated perhaps Matt Pryor in his role in this offensive line, and he's been better than expected.
And Bill Murray has apparently moved beyond Nate Davis as a backup guard.
Can I mention Bill Murray? I'm glad you brought him up. There's a great item in Brad Biggs's 10 thoughts this morning on ChicagoTribune.com. We don't have Biggs' time this morning because he's traveling back from London, so we'll catch up with him hopefully tomorrow. He's got a great item on Bill Murray and how Bill Belichick was instrumental in bringing Bill Murray back to life as an NFL player, changing positions, believing in him, and saying that, encouraging him because of his hard work. And that's a really good thing to have on your resume, right? The Bill Belichick stamp of approval.
Sure.
So Bill Murray's a guy that you look at and you say, wow, he has been somebody you didn't expect to be counting on six games into the season. And yet the Bears look at him as quality depth piece, a guy who has stepped in and done a nice job and is at the ready, because you never know if Tevin Jenkins is going to finish a game he starts.
Yeah, I mean, he did. And so we should congratulate him. But the two previous games, he couldn't finish, one with the hip injury and one with the ankle injury. So I was impressed that he even was on the flight to London, to be honest with you, because it looked pretty bad when he couldn't come back in the game with the ankle. But, you know, the guy starts and the guy finishes the game.
They're a different offensive line with him in it.
Congratulations to him.
Don't you agree?
I think they are.
Yeah,
I think he's good.
He's definitely an upgrade.
I think Matt Pryor has been really good. He's, you know, he's a giant. He's a very big man. You know, you like offensive linemen that you feel are already kind of able to block someone just by their size.
You wonder why Moore can't long snap.
You're unbelievable. Let's try Bob. Bob's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
I got a couple of questions about coaching.
Ah.
Number one, early in the game, our Jaguar caught the ball. He's bobbling it. He falls to the ground. The ground helped him catch the ball. He got up and ran, and Overfoos, because defense coach is waiting a long time to throw the red flag, there has to be somebody on the team to help him to make that decision. And secondly, a coaching problem is Cole Kmet being your backup long snapper. God bless what he did. I believe, I mean, the guy's a great guy, but he's your number three player. You got to have somebody on that roster who can do that rather than him. That's a freak accident ruining your season. It could be a thumb. It could be a finger. Be having to block downfield. I don't think he did a punt downfield. They get clipped and blocked, and he's out for the season.
Yeah, he did not. They did not. Game. They didn't have to punt, believe it or not. So that worked out very
After that, they didn't. They had two punts before
two
that.
Two punts before that.
61.5 yard average, which is quite performance from Torrey Taylor.
He never had a snap for a punt.
He didn't have to snap for a punt. And that's not a coaching issue as much as it is a roster issue. Yes. I don't know how much people look at backup long snappers. Let's face it. You want to be critical of them not having a capable backup long snapper. How many teams really do?
No one.
And it's the fact is they do have a capable long snapper as a backup.
Yeah, he's a backup.
He happens to be your $50 million tight end.
Yeah, but he's also, he practices. He has three snaps a week on Thursdays where he practices it. I mean, I know we're joking about it, but God bless him. He's a good athlete, and it's a great thing to have. You know, when If you ever watch the NFL, I'm trying to remember. I covered a playoff game. I want to say it was the Giants in San Francisco, and they lost their long snapper, and they did not really have a capable replacement, and they, as a result, I think it was two or three field goals that they could not get off. They missed them for whatever, you know, the bad snap on it. I'll tell you what, that can submarine a team like you wouldn't believe. You think of it as just, and unfortunately or fortunately, because Patrick Manley did it for so long.
You took it for granted.
You do take it
for
granted.
You do take it for granted. Yes. Now, I think I have no problem with the Bears using Cole Kmet in an emergency situation. That's why they call it an emergency situation. They've got 2 weeks to figure out if Patrick Scales is going to come back, whether or not Scott Daly's injured enough to have to place an injured reserve. But as Big Z reports this morning in the Chicago Tribune, Jake McQuaid is a two-time Pro Bowl selection, and Matt Overton, who the Bears signed but didn't need to use late last season, are two experienced options on the street available to come in. Long snappers can be signed on a Friday, be snapping on a Sunday. Wait and see where you are health-wise. I don't think Cole Kmet is going to have to do double duty for much longer.
No, I think it's a one-off. I think they will sign someone maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
Don't know.
When they'll bring him in or what the, you know, they just got back.
Try some people out.
They will definitely try some people out. It seems like Scott Daly will be out for a little bit with a knee injury. He had a brace on it when he left the game, by all reports. So you would be concerned about that. As you say, they have a guy coming back in Patrick Scales, but he might be 3 weeks away, and they don't have
back
3 weeks.
Back injury. You need somebody against the Commanders as early as the first game back.
At the very least, because we don't know when he would be able to come back and how he would be when he does come back. I think they need to sign someone, and they will do that.
As for the challenge, I think it's a fair question. I don't think Flusa was asked about it after the game. There were a lot of other things to address, but I did have the same thought initially when the Jaguar receiver did seem to use the ground as a crutch there and the ball seemed to hit the ground. I thought it was challengeable and they did not do that.
312-644-6767. We're going to stick with your phone calls. Mully and Haw on the Score.
What's it say about Cole to see him have two touchdown catches and be the long snapper?
And the long snapper, that's elite. You know, we've talked about it on the sideline. I don't think I've ever seen it. Have a guy score a touchdown and do a snap. It's pretty solid.
That is the voice of Keenan Allen, says he hasn't seen it. Apparently it's happened. Apparently Philadelphia did it. Okay, that's fine. But did the guy catch two touchdowns and snap twice?
Yeah, I don't know if it is that somebody's caught two touchdowns and then snapped on both touchdowns right
Lucy
after.
Lucy said it hadn't happened, but again, he didn't agree to do the interview knowing there'd be fact-checking. So,
well, he also, the first player to score and then snap the extra point twice in a row. That happened in 2005 with Mike Bartram, but did Mike Bartram score twice in a row?
We'd have to look the game up.
I do not think so. I will find out at the break if that is actually history in the making, or does Cole Kmet still own that claim to fame?
So don't you dare call Flusy a liar because you fact-check him.
He just did.
He was told that there'd be no fact-checking. That was part of the agreement when he said he'd do the Let's try Mark. He's in Chicago. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say, after the game yesterday, on field, Stacey Dales goes up to Caleb Williams and tells him, you know, excellent game, the rookie record, four touchdowns in an international game. And she asks him, how does it feel? And he said, I think obviously we got to keep getting better. I can't turn the ball over like that on a wide open touchdown to DJ. So this guy's humble. He's always looking for improvement. You know, combined almost 300 yards. He could have been bragging. And I just have a simple message for everyone who is calling in to keep Fields over the offseason, who is overreacting over the first 2 weeks. Everyone who called in and berated Haw, where's your apology? He's not a diva. He's a top QB. And one more thing, boys, we're feeling good about Caleb. Let's all go get our nails painted. We're going to the next home game together. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Need a recommendation for a new salon.
Yeah,
You're in?
How about that, Dustin? Can we get
Dustin, no way he's doing
can
that.
We get our nails done, all
you want
of
a
us.
Nail, you want a nail tech to come in?
That's what I'm thinking. We get, you know, someone who can do nails to come in
here. That they're called nail techs?
And we get, you know, manicures.
I think that's the term.
No. I don't know. I'm actually naive there. I know a lot of good nail salons.
Because I watched the game, and I didn't see a lot of manicures, but I did see Flusie looked like he got a haircut.
Flusie definitely got a haircut. Oh, I have an update on that.
Okay, we got a hair update?
Yes. Did you also notice, speaking of, before we get away from Caleb's hands, glove again on the non-throwing hand.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm just, I was talking to people
chilly.
And they had
no. It was chilly. Didn't you hear Rich Eisen talk about how chilly it was in the booth?
I saw Rich Eisen all dressed up like he was, he's kind of like a scarf guy, though.
Didn't he's a scarf
puffy,
guy?
He's good. Puffy jacket. Kurt Warner looks sharp.
Kurt Warner looks like a million.
Suit,
he looked like he was got groomed by the Bears barber.
He'd gone down to Oxford Street and someone
more handsome. Kurt Warner or Flusie yesterday? More dashing and debonair.
I go with the Hall of Famer.
Okay, go with the Hall of Famer.
This generally is a rule.
By the way, so we made light of the fact or made fun of the fact that the Bears brought their barber.
I was dead serious about it, okay? I thought it was a really interesting
I made the point of it because people can't say the McCaskies are cheap if they're flying over the team barber. That was kind of my point in context, right? Then we find out you said, well, what if there's a line? Because guys like to get their haircut maybe on Thursday or Friday.
I wondered aloud.
So I kind of looked into it a little further. The Bears reportedly, or presumably, they flew over two barbers.
So Lawrence was not alone?
Two barbers. There were two people cutting Bears players' hair and player Bears staffers or whoever wanted to get a haircut at the English Countryside Manor.
Now we got a problem. Now we got a problem? Yes, because what's the old rule?
I don't know.
If you go into a barber shop and there are two barbers.
Yeah.
You have one guy who has a nice haircut and then the other guy looks okay but not great. Which guy do you go to? You always go to the guy with the worst haircut because the other guy gave it to him.
I don't know how that
works. So what do you do?
I think they look like a million. They played like a million. They played how they felt.
I want the better barber, David.
They played how they looked.
If there's two of them, then there's got to be some sort of hierarchy to it.
I'm sure.
So you got a lot of angry guys. Look at me.
Maybe starters go to the best.
Okay.
And then subs.
And they got another guy in with some shears. Ooh, I'm sorry, sir.
Nate Davis gets a bowl.
Nate Davis does not get a haircut. He gets in line. No.
No.
We're out of.
You have not earned the right to get a manicure.
Electricity.
You don't. You're going to look sloppy because you're playing sloppy.
You can get a crew cut. That's it.
It's funny that you noticed Flusie's haircut, though.
You didn't notice it?
I kind of did.
And did you say, wow, he used the barber? He did.
That looks like a team that flew over two barbers.
That's what you said. That was your reaction.
And you know, it's funny. You listen to the pregame stuff. We watch all the pregame stuff. And one of the things that Flusie says, this is his verbiage. This is the way he speaks about his team. They want to play clean.
Well, there you go. Then
they want to play clean.
But he's got the Don Johnson kind of, you know, well manicured short beard going.
He does,
doesn't he? As well as like the, you know, he's being shaven up the sides of his head. He is. He's been
high and tight.
He's got the
high
fade.
And tight, high and tight. You know, that's exactly
all right.
It.
Looking all good.
Right.
Looking
all right. Good. Well, listen, we'll get right back to your calls. We're going to be right back. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.